So we're holding an eye in on the parlor for a little bit past the middle of the onward. The line begins April. Okay, we're actually in the middle of a case as follows. We know that in general, grain only becomes high in truma, or in general, any produce only becomes high in truma and maaser once it reaches a stage called gemar melacha, which for every kind of produce is some different thing that's done to it. In the case of grain, the stage of gemar melacha is called miruach. Usually that involves smoothing the tile, meaning usually, in other words, you clean the grain, you do dosh, you do zoda, you do boda, etc., and you end up with a pile of clean grain. You end up with a bunch of clean grain, just the kernels, you stack them up in a pile, and you smooth out the sides of the pile, and that's called miruach.
I thought you said winnowing.
Zoda is winnowing. That's a bit of an earlier stage. After you do the threshing, which is dosh, which is the fifth malacha, the malacha of Shabbos, after that you have now a pile of a mix of kernels and broken shells and straw and whatnot. So now you throw it up into the air and the wind blows away the lighter shells and then straw and whatnot. It's called winnowing. It's called zoreh in Hebrew. That's the sixth malacha. Zoreh planting. Zoreh is winnowing. Yeah. So and then once you do that, then you have only the heavy things, which are the kernels, but you also have little pebbles and dirt and whatever mixed in with that. That's the next thing after that is you do boiler to get those out. After that, you have a pile of clean grain. At that point, you stack it up in a pile and do miruach on it and smooth out the sides of the pile. That's the stage of gemar melacha of grain. Because when you get down to it, with Hilchos Shabbos, everything else, I have to think of it in terms of the malachas of Shabbos. After all the malachas after that, that are all part of the stage of making bread, what do you have after that? After that, you have toichin, grinding it, rakid, sifting it, etc. Those are all after it. Those are all afterwards. Those are all after you have clean grain.
In terms of say gemar melacha,
that's the thing. Gemar melacha, so far as the grain is concerned, after anything you're doing after that is not as grain, as grinding it into flour or doing other things. That's a separate thing. But in terms of, at that point, now as grain, the processing of it is done. Okay, so we had a question as follows that Rabbo asked. Suppose that you had a pile of grain over there, and in that pile it so happened that you had one individual stalk of grain which you hadn't cleaned. You hadn't threshed it and whatever, and it got mixed up with the pile. So you did miruach on the whole pile, therefore that one stalk also becomes pebble and becomes chayiv in truma and maaser. The question now is, if you were to later on go and replant that stalk, what is the din of it? So you have two ways of understanding it. The question is whether if you call it truma, is it considered truma or not? So you have the Shitim Kubetis' explanation of it. He understands you're for sure not allowed to eat it beforehand, because it's definitely tevel. Having been tevel inside the pile, it doesn't become no longer tevel as a result of having been planted. The only question is if it can be declared truma. And according to the Rambam, the more straightforward explanation of the Gemara, would you in fact be allowed to eat it while it's attached to the ground, or would it be tevel? But either way, the point is, the essential question of the Gemara is, are you able to declare it truma while it's attached to the ground? That's the question. Can you
replant
it? So it's replanted. Can you declare it truma while it's growing? No, before you took truma and maaser from the pile. If you took truma and maaser from the pile, obviously it's not. Obviously you can't declare it. You can't declare it truma anymore. It's now something paltry. You can't declare it truma for something else which is chayim. So the Rabbanan said to Rabbah, obviously it can't be, because we find an implication from a Mishnah or a Braisa that says that there's no such thing as truma attached to the ground. So Rabbah answered them that's as far as it's not considered truma. If it's attached to the ground, you can argue it's not considered truma insofar as if a Zor eats it, the Mezid is not going to be chayiv nisid b'shamayim, and b'shogeg, he's not going to have to pay a chomesh, because it's not a normal way of eating it. But you can't say that means that necessarily that it can't be truma while attached to the ground at all. So that's where we're holding, lining into Esau. So we're going to ask, so Maishna midichtiv apinkosa de ilfa. Now in that case, if you're going to argue that you can't declare it, that if you're going to argue that eating it while it's attached to the ground is not considered derech achila, and therefore you're going to argue even if it can be declared truma while it's attached to the ground, but even if it's zor eats it, it's not going to be high of the usual consequences for eating truma. Why is that different than a case that we find written in the notebook of Ilfa? In general, Ilfo was one of the Talmudim of Rebbe. In that time, you still weren't allowed to write down Torah Shabbat there, except you have the Rishonim will learn that Rebbe wrote the Mishnah, but other than that, you're not allowed to write down Torah Shabbat there. However, when the Chachamim heard a new din, a chiddush that they didn't know of before, they would sometimes write it, they were allowed to write it down in a private notebook for their own notes, so that they don't forget. So here they found in Ilfo's notebook a din as follows. They say Nivlach Ta'oifachar, eggs from the nevela from a dead kosher bird, which we learned back in Zvachim, that you have a concept that if a person swallows a kazayis of a nivlach ta'oifachar, then he becomes tomei the moment he swallows it, and his clothes become tomei also, and the
when he swallows
as soon as he swallows that kazayis, then as soon as he, not an egg. Just here we're talking the regular cases where it's an nevela of an oifachar, but here we're talking about suppose that he swallowed some of the eggs. Where the case is, part of these eggs was outside, in other words, the chicken or whatever kind of bird we're talking about, started laying these eggs before it died. So now half of the egg is inside and half of it is outside. So now, the part that's still inside the body of the bird, that counts towards the kezayis, metamin, gadim, abeis, abliyah. That will also have the effect of making him tomei and his clothes tomei when he swallows it, because the part that's still inside the bird is still considered part of the flesh of the bird. Bimachos, the part that's already, as opposed to the part that's outside already, ain't metamin begadim abeis abliyah. Then it's not metamin begadim abeis abliyah. So therefore, in other words, so we see that now, even now, you could argue that what's inside the bird is not something that a person would normally eat. We don't say, but yet we don't say bottle of dietary psychologism. We still consider it eating, and it's still metamehim. Okay, Rashi and Tosfos both point out over here that actually you have a Gemara in Beitza that says that no, if a person eats from the eggs that are attached to the bird, then he's not metameh. So Rashi explains that there it would be talking about where he pulled them loose from the bird and then ate them separately, as opposed to here we're talking about he ate them while they're partially still inside the bird. Tosfos disagrees with that. Tosfos distinguishes between whether the eggs are fully formed, which is the case in Beitza over there, versus here where they're not fully formed. If they're outside, then the Gemara is definitely saying it right. But if they're inside, Rashi would learn that if they're inside, he is Tomei. The only way for him to not be Tomei is if they're not inside anymore. And Tosfos learns even if they're inside, there'll be a difference whether they're fully formed, that they already have a white and a yolk, versus that they only have, versus that they're still at an earlier stage of development and they only have, so therefore Tosfos would say that's the distinction. Returning to our Gemara.
What's the difference?
The point is, if they're fully developed, then they can't really be considered part of the bird anymore, even if they're still inside it.
Oh, okay.
You have a similar concept in Hilchos Kashrus. I think we'll learn about it in Chulin, about if you shech the bird and find the eggs inside it, are they considered fleshik as far as the genome of Balsa Bahalov? Okay, anyway. The point is that before we were saying that if you eat wheat or whatever grain that's attached to the ground, then that's not considered eating. Therefore, botla daika erzakaladam. So therefore, it's not considered eating as far as the dinim of truma and mice, as far as the dinim of zor eating truma. But here we're saying, if a person eats eggs that are inside the dead bird, then they're matame. They still count towards the kazayis, even though you could argue that's also not a normal way of eating.
The
eggs that are still partially inside the bird. Oh, yeah. But the answer is, fine, but the fact of the matter is, you do sometimes have, let's say, so fine, you have these eggs that are still partially inside the bird, but still, people sometimes do eat them that way, together with the bird. But when you have something that's attached, so at least over there, in other words, fine, they're attached to the bird, but the bird itself is a movable object. So therefore, people might sometimes eat it like that. Therefore, it can be considered achilah. On the other hand, therefore, it will count towards the kedayis to make him tummy.
Oh.
As opposed to b'mechubah, but to say that something that's attached to the ground, that loyavidi inshidachli, people don't normally eat that, and therefore that can't be considered achilah. So there still is reason to distinguish between the case of the grain attached to the ground where we can argue maybe you could declare it Truma. We kind of left that question open, but definitely if you declared it Truma, a Zor who eats it is not going to have the usual consequences for it. Versus somebody who eats the eggs of the bird that are partially inside and partially outside, where there we can say it is at least a bit more of a normal way of eating, because the fact is the whole thing is movable.
No conclusion.
So the conclusion is that there is that distinction between eating eggs that are attached to the bird versus eating grain that's attached to the ground. But as far as the original question, whether you're able to declare it truma, that we have a topic on. That we're left with a topic. One more din, as far as plantings, before earlier the Gemara had talked about a case involving an osit she'enin knuckles, involving a flower pot that didn't have a hole in it. But now another din in that connection. Amr of Tavyumi Bakisna Omashmul, Hazerea Kilayin Ba'osit she'enin knuckles, somebody plants Kilayin, they plant two different species together, in an osit she'enin knuckles, in a flower pot without a hole, osir, then it'll be osir. Actually, it can mean two possibilities. It can either mean that he put both of them in one flower pot, or it can mean he did one in one flower pot and the other in another flower pot, and there's not enough space between them. Normally, on them, one second. Okay, so we'll continue in a second as soon as he's back.
Doesn't work.
Doesn't really matter. The point is that
it
could be a flower pot. Yeah, it could be a flower pot. The flower pot is not like a tiny thing, right? It could be one of the larger ones. Then. Yeah. Okay. So Tavuni Bar Kisna is saying in the name of Shmuel, Hazerea Kilayim Ba'osit Chayin Knuckle, somebody plants Kilayim in a flower pot without a hole, Osir, then it's Osir. Now again, it can mean either that he planted two minim in the one flower pot, or it can mean that he planted one in one flower pot, the other in the other flower pot, but they're not far apart enough as you need to have between different kinds of seeds and whatever. Okay, so then he's saying it's osir. Amar Abaye, Abaye says, why are you using the expression osir? This shleimet yashmin and loike. I can understand if Rav Tavuvi Bar Kisna is telling us that he gets loike makas maudis midrabanan, that even though midrabanan, you can't consider it planting, it's not in the ground and it doesn't have a hole, that he gets makas maudis midrabanan, fine, shaku, I can understand, then fine, you're telling us a chidush. We wouldn't know that din from anywhere else. Ella osir, but if he just tells us it's osir, implying there's no particular punishment, but that he's not supposed to do it, ma'ik tamash malan, then what's the chiddush? The midrabanan habyazriya, is the whole chiddush he's trying to tell us that midrabanan planting in a flower pot without a hole is considered planting? Chaneina, we have a Mishnah that tells us that. Toram misha'enu nokuv alam nokuv, if somebody takes truma from let's say, grain that grew in a flower pot without a hole, which is only chayiv midrabanan, on behalf of grain that grew in a flower pot with a hole, which is chayiv daraisa, because it gets nourishment from the al hanokul. He takes on behalf of grain or whatever that grew in a flower pot with a hole.
Can he do that?
Well, that's the question. He shouldn't do it. Truma, it is considered truma. In other words, midrabanan, the yachta v'yitran, but because it's not valid on a daraisa level, because on a daraisa level you can only take from what's chayiv midaraisa, on what's chayiv midaraisa, which is right. Therefore, the yachta v'yitran, therefore he's going to have to take truma on behalf of it again, from another flower pot with a hole, or from a field, or whatever. So therefore we know from that that planting in a flower pot without a hole is considered planting midrabanan, otherwise we wouldn't consider the first truma that he took midrabanan. So there's no chiddush in telling us osir. So if he had told us loike, makas maudis, then that would be a chiddush. Okay. All right. Mishnah comes in.
So there's nothing up.
So there's other words. No, also means it's also, but you should know. Well, I mean, it's on the face of it, he didn't say Chayiv Malchus. On the other hand, since Abaya points out that by rights he should be loy to Makas Nadas Sidabon, and then that in fact is Alok. Somebody plants Kilayim in an office chain, and not so many packing as Malchus Sidabon. Mishnah says. There's two different things. No, so we're talking two different ginyan. One would be if he planted grain in a flower pot without a hole, let's say. It's chayav truma and maaseh d'rabbanan. The other ginyan would be that it's also considered chalayim d'rabbanan if he plants another species in the same flower pot or another flower pot next to it. Okay. Mishnah says. But since we've been talking about the Omer, and we've been talking about the idea that Chodosh, that the new grain crop from this year, is also until the Omer is brought, but now let's talk about what kind of grain does this apply to. So the Mishnah says, Achitin, wheat, that's the Oren and barley, that Kusmin, and on the days Rashi translates Kusmin as felt, Rashi Bolas Shual, which Rashi translates over there as oats, that Shifon and rye. We have a couple of different ideas among botanists nowadays, whether some of them might not be other ones, but whatever. That those are the general ones that are accepted in halacha. That these are the five. Harel chayav and machala. All of these five species are chayav and chala. Umitzarfin zemze, and they combine one with another. So now there's two possibilities. One possibility can be that you mix up a dough of a mixture, for example, of wheat and barley and whatever. The other possibility could be that you have, let's say, some loaves of bread that are wheat and other ones that are barley and other ones that are felt and so forth, and then they touch each other in the oven, and then noshkin is called, like they bite into each other. Like if you tried to separate them, a little bit of one would come off on the other. So the point is, when we say over here, we'll see at the beginning of the Gemara, we'll talk about what Rashi and Tosfos say. Do we mean that does it mean that when we say that they can combine with each other, that's implying that any of them can combine with any of the other ones, which of these two scenarios are we talking about? So we'll get to that in the Gemara. All five of these species are also as chodesh before Pesach, or melichta melichnei Omer, and you're not allowed to harvest any of them before the Omer is brought. Shit, the Kabbalah actually flips around these, or Birkas Hazeva flips around these two, rather, that it's, they're also as chodesh before the Omer, and they're also to harvest before Pesach. We'll get into the Gemara in the exact details of when they're also. All right. Im hishrishu kodem la'Omer. Now, if any of these species took root before the Omer, the Omer matiron, then the Omer is master them, that now they become mutter to eat. And if not, if they didn't take root before the Omer is brought, asurin ashiyavar ha'omer abad, and they're also until next year's Omer. Now, how long does it take them to take root, actually? You have a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, where you have a machloikas, you have a three-way machloikas among Tanoim, when it comes to trees. Is it that they take 3 days to take root, or 2 weeks, or a month? And so the Rambam understands, the Rambam paskins according to the opinion 2 weeks in connection with Orla, for example, and he also paskins, and it's brought in Shulchan Aruch, as far as this, that also he with grain, the same thing, 2 weeks. The Shach, on the other hand, brings over there, and Hilchos Kodesh, and Miradeya, brings from the Trumas Hadeshen, and defends it very strongly in the Kodesh HaKesef, that actually over here we would take 3 days. So you have two different opinions. So you have the Mechaber brings in Shulchan Aruch that 2 weeks, meaning in other words, so since the Omer is brought on Tetzayin Nissen, it would mean you would have had to plant the thing by Beis Nissen in order for it to be mutter with this year's Omer. Whereas according to the Shach, you could plant it much closer. You could plant it as late as your Gimel Nissen, and it would still work.
The Shach is an early Achron.
He's an early Achron. He writes on the Shulchan Aruch, and he brings from the Trumas Hadeshen, who's a Rishon.
When, which
is? He lives in the 1600s. Okay. Fine.
No, that's the thing.
The Shach says, yes, we can accept that it takes 2 weeks in the case of trees. Why should we assume that it takes 2 weeks in the case of grain, which is much smaller? Yeah, that's the basis. Okay.
Well, the Shach's opinion will prevail. So what he, as a matter of practical halacha, I mean, look, in Chutzlaris, you anyway have a machloekas where the chadash is even applicable. So even if you say that it's applicable, you might be makel according to the shah. In Eretz Yisrael, I don't know what they, in Eretz Yisrael, I don't know.
Generally speaking, the later fisking.
In general, well, many times, yeah. Okay. Okay. There's more sources. Tana, we learn in a braisa, as far as identifying the wheat and barley, we know. Chitim and sa'urim, wheat and barley, we know what they are. Kusmin min chitin, kusmin, the third one in our Mishnah, is considered to be a subspecies of wheat. Shibolas shul, but shifan min sa'urim. And the other two, shibolas shul and shifan, rye and oat, are considered to be related to barley.
So why do we have this?
Well, so in other words, they're all five considered grains, but they fall into two categories. One, the kind that are related to wheat, and the other one that are related to, barley. So Rashi points out that's relevant as far as the dinim of challah. Because Rashi brings from a Mishnah in challah that says that wheat combined, even though we said in our Mishnah, it's sifin, zeh and zeh, which sounds like it means they all combine with one another, really Rashi says that means wheat only combines with spelt, as far as the shiur challah. In other words, and barley only combines with shibolas shu'ol and shifa, and with rye and oats. So here's where you have the discussion, which Tosfos gets into a bit of a long discussion about it. Are we talking about over here if you made a dough mixed of the different ones that we would say, for example, if you made a dough, which is a shiur challah, partly out of wheat and partly out of oats, let's say, then it wouldn't be chayiv and challah? Or are we saying, no, as far as if you mix them together in a dough, they're going to be chayiv and challah no matter which species you mix together, as long as the dough is made up from one or more of these five species. The question would be, if you have, let's say, you're baking in the oven some small loaves made out of wheat and other ones made out of oats, let's say, and they touch each other, that's where we would be saying that wheat will only combine together with spelt and barley will only combine together with rye and oats.
If you mix them
into a dough, then Tosfos says for sure they're going to be chayav and challah regardless. Okay. So now the Gemara translates them into Aramaic terms. Kusmin is an Aramaic gulba, which Rashi translates by the word spelt. A spelter, Rashi says, spelt. Shifon is dishra, which is rye. And shibolas shua, which is shibolas hala, which Rashi translates as avena, which is oat. So those are the five. Okay, so the Gemara points out, Hani Ein, now what are we saying? Only those five minim are Chayiv Mechala, Odas v'Joichan Loi. Apparently, though, the implication is that Odas and Joichan are not Chayiv Mechala. Now, what are Odas and Joichan? Most of the Rishonim translate Odas as rice and Joichan as millet. Rashi translates millet it's also a grain-like cereal, but whatever. I mean, in some places, in some parts of Europe, for example, it was their staple, like wheat is for us nowadays. Anyway, that's how. So most Rishonim understand. Most Rishonim translate them that way. Odas rice and Doichan millet. Rashi translates Odas as millet and Doichan as another kind of cereal, which is called in English panic. And actually, the Alter Rebbe brings in Hilchot Birkat Hanamim that there are some. He doesn't specify which ones, but he says that some people translate Odas as millet and Doichan as rice. That is where we have, when we have the velt, so the Gemara mentions in Brachas that you're supposed to make mezoinus on Odas and burn a foshet afterwards, and the velt says, in that case, that's the din with rice. If you eat rice cakes, rice krispies, etc., so they do that. They make mezoinus on it at the beginning and burn a foshet at the end. We, since the Alter Rebbe mentions over there, based on Rashi, that Odas may not be rice after all, then we hold, either you eat rice, the opposite of a rice over there, either you eat rice during a meal so that you don't have a suffix on the bracha, or if you have no choice, you don't have anything else to eat it with, then you say shakol on it, like you do in any other case, a suffix bracha. So there's also some people, many people will try to do, they'll eat something mezoinus and something adoma, something shakol, and that way, then no matter what, the rice is covered.
So if it's the case, then why can't we eat rice on Pesach?
Because that's a different thing. Now, we're going to discuss later on that right, that Urdas and Dochan, whatever they are not subject to chimus. We'll discuss that soon. However, you have a gzera going back to the time of the Rishonim of kitten to not eat things that are similar to grain, and rice is in that category.
Grain, of course, right?
It's similar to grain, and it's harvested much like grain, ground up and made into flour much like grain. Many times, that may be, but nevertheless, still, there's reason that you may confuse it for grain, especially once it's ground up and flour. Yeah, that's the basic idea behind it. All right, so let's go on. Okay, so the point is, we had only five minim listed in our Mishnah. Odas and Dochan are not among them. They're not chayv and chala. Minan and Mili. How do we know that? Why are they not chayv and chala? Because you make a zera shava based on the word lechem that it says in connection with masa. In Parashat Shlach, when it talks about the mitzvah of challah, it says when you eat from the bread of Eretz Yisrael, then you have to take challah from it. Masa is described as lechem oini. So whatever minim can be used for masa are chayev and challah. Odas and Dochan can't be used for masa for reasons that we're going to say in a second. Therefore, they're not chayiv mechala. Okay. So v'hosam grupa menolan. Okay. So where do we know in the case of masa itself that it can't be made out of odas and Dochan? Omer Shlokish. So the Shlokish says v'chein tonen v'ed Rabbi Shmuel. We learn also in the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel taught a brayse v'chein tonen v'ed Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov, and they also taught it in the yeshiva of Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov. This is a popular question. Omakra, because like this, the Pasuk says, Lo Yisoychal Olav Chomet, the Pasuk says, when you eat the Korban Pesach, or when you eat B'chlal on Pesach, you're not allowed to eat together with it Chomet. Shivat Yomim Toychal Olav Masas Lechamani, for 7 days you should eat Masas, the bread of poverty. Meaning, in other words, there's a certain hekish between Chomet and Masas. Dvorim Aboyim L'Dechimut, only things that are capable of becoming Chomet, Odom Yosef Behani Dechavotu Pesach, those are the same meaning with which a person can be yoked to the mitzvah of matzah on Pesach, obviously when they're not made of chomet. Yotzu elu, as opposed to odas and dochan, she'ed boyin with their chimut, they never reach the stage of chomet, elu l'dei stuchayim. They spoil. In other words, even if you put them, you knead them like you knead them with water, like you would a dough made out of wheat flour or whatever. You put yeast in it, you leave it to rise. It won't rise in the same way that wheat or barley or spelt or what have you will. It doesn't contain gluten and it doesn't contain the various enzymes that
has nothing to do with chametz bichlal.
Right. It has to do with that people may confuse it with the actual grains that are restricted on Pesach.
And these kikniyot include rice and what other?
Include rice, they have rice, corn, various kinds of beans, peas, a lot of different things. Yeah, you find there in the times of the Rishonim, it was still a little bit fluid. I think you have it mentioned that one of the Rishonim, I don't remember which one of Balei HaTosfos, I don't remember which one, used to eat peas on Pesach, but afterwards it became generally accepted that peas are also included in kidney.
So
yeah, well, it's a bunch of different things. You know what it is on Pesach. Okay, I mean, the Sfaradim never accepted that, you know, however, you still have among individual Kehillos, the Sfaradim in various places, you still have, for example, there were some of them who still acted rice, because rice really is very easily confusable with grain, and you have others where they're mafia rice, but like they have to check it over three times or something to make sure that there's no grain mixed in with it, whatever. Okay. All right. Okay, then we said it was Sarsin Benze. Then we said in Mishnah that the five types of grain are, they combine with each other. So again, according as Tosafot said, it means that, if you mix them into a dough, then they can all combine with each other, as opposed to if you have separate loaves that touch each other, then you have what we said at the beginning of the Gemara, that only certain kinds will consider to be mixed. The Tonne, we learn in a Braisa, Hatzvua, grain that hasn't been ground up yet, Vakmochim and flour, Vabasekos and dough, Mitzarfin, Zanze, they all combine with one another. So what does that mean? Lamai Hilchsa. As far as what halacha are we talking about? We obviously can't be talking about as far as challah, because for example, challah only applies to dough. It doesn't apply to raw grain, it doesn't apply to flour. So what are we talking about? So we have four answers. Omer of Kahania La'inin Chodesh. So the Kahana says as far as Chodesh. Now it's like this. The Gemara tells us in Krisis, the pasuk that tells us not to eat chodesh goes as follows. The lechem, the koli, the chana, loy, thirstly. You're not allowed to eat bread or toasted grain or fresh grain until the omer is brought or until the day of the omer that we discussed a couple of blocks ago. The Gemara explains over there. Now, on the face of it, you would think it only says one time loy tzarechu. So if a person eats, all of them, he's only, if a person eats a kazayit of each one of those, let's say, he should only be chayav one malchus. The Gemara says over there, no. The Gemara learns over there from Gaushin in the Pesukim that each one of them is a separate Yisr. And in fact, the Rambam lists them as three separate lavin in Sefer HaMitzvot and in Yad HaChazaka. The Rambam lists them as three separate lavin. So if a person were to eat a kazayis of bread, of chodosh, and a kazayis of koli, and a kazayis of caramel, he's going to get malchus individually for each one. So therefore, Rav Kahana says, that's true. Nevertheless, though, on the other hand, you can also have a kazayis can also be made up of part of each one of these things. You're not going to say, for example, let's say a person is high of kares, so malchus, let's say, for eating chalev and also for eating dam. Now, if a person eats a kazayis of half chalev, half dam, they don't get malchus for it, they don't get kares for it. So you would think he would do the same thing. It's lechem and koli and caramel are each their own thing. No, comes Rav Kahana and tells us, nevertheless, you also have a person eats a third of a kazayis of grain and another third of flour and another third of dough, he's still going to be chayav malchus for having eaten chomesh. Because after all three of these things are part of the issue of chomesh. The Torah gives them a three separate issurim, but as the Gemara learns every day on Christmas, but nevertheless, they all are under the same general category of chomesh. So it's similar to, you have a concept that, for example, that the Gemara talks about elsewhere, for example, I think that Pigul and Noiser can combine together, or for example, that Nevela and Trefa can combine together, because they're still, they have a certain relationship between them. Let's say, for example, Trefa is sort of the beginning of Nevela, an animal is Trefa, and if it's not shechted, eventually it's going to die of that, so therefore there's a certain connection between them. So it's the same thing over here. No, grain is to a certain extent roi lachila. People can eat raw grain. For example, you have the okay, maybe the shachat hakas. Nevertheless, it's still lachila. It's not, no, on Amud Aleph, we said bot l'daita es l'kolodim. You can have the kind of eating, like when it's attached to the ground, where no normal person does it. But to eat raw grain, it's not even shachat hakas. Sometimes, just for example, you know, in Bava Metzia, when it talks about, for example, the din, that a worker has to be allowed to eat on the job, so what is it? You're talking not going and grinding it up and whatever. You don't have the right to do that on the job. What are you doing? You're eating raw kernels as you work.
This is why we were like 2 years ago, like toasted bits, you could snack on it. Right?
That's also true, yes. So when we say over here, that's raw, could mean when it's toasted, but even if it's not, even if it's raw, it's still edible. The same thing kemach. I mean, kemach is talking not something that people normally eat, but you can't stand it both the diet out with all of them. In fact, speaking of brachas, the Gemara mentions in brachas, if a person eats raw flour, you do make a bracha on it. You make a shakol on it. You don't make hadoma or mezonos on it. That's not the normal way of eating it. But nevertheless, so therefore, it's kind of downgraded to shakol. But nevertheless, you still make a bracha on it. Okay.
No, you're in midway.
Yeah. Whatever. Okay. All right. So that's what Kahana says as far as chodosh, that a person eats a mixture of these things. Well, yeah. Rav Yosef Amar l'inyan chometz for Pesach. Rav Yosef says another thing that's relevant is as far as chometz on Pesach. If a person were to eat, again, a kezayis of a mixture of these things, he'd be chayav kares for eating chometz on Pesach. Rav Papa Amar l'inyan ma'aseh sheni. Rav Papa says it's also, no, they're not necessarily disagreeing with each other. Well, the Karen Ora says they're not necessarily disagreeing with each other. Each one is pointing out what he feels is the greater chiddush that the Mishnah is telling. Rav Kahana feels that the chiddush. Yeah. In other words, for example, Rav Kahana might say the Mishnah has to tell us as far as Chodosh, but for example, as far as Chometz and Pesach, it's obvious the Mishnah wouldn't have to tell us that. The same thing with the other one. Okay. So Rav Papa Amar l'inyan Ma'aseh Sheni, it's relevant as far as Ma'aseh Sheni, the Ochel L'Chutz V'Chol Malachi, where if a person eats Ma'aseh Sheni outside the walls of Yerushalayim without redeeming it, is Chayav Malchus. So here, the Mishnah wants to tell us, or rather the Braisa, which mentioned about grain and flour and dough, same idea. If a person were to eat a kazayis of a mix of those things, a ma'aseh sheni, then he'd get malchus. Rabba Amar l'inyan tumas oichlin. Rabba says the fourth one, it's also negeya as far as the din of tumas oichlin. You need a kabeisa of food in order to be mekameh other food, and you have machlokes reshoinim whether you also need a kabeisa to become tameh in the first place. according to Rashi, you know, according to Rashi in various other places, and according to the Rambam, there's no minimum amount to become tamei, but for it to be mekamei other food, you need a kebesa. According to Tosfos in various places, in Sochem and some other places, you need both, a kebesa to become tamei in the first place, and a kebesa to make other food tamei. Anyway, so the point is, Rava says what we're saying over here as far as combining together a kebesa. So therefore, as the Rava says, what's the chiddush then? Rahakamashmalon, in that case, the chiddush of the Braita is the tvua ukmachin dumya debatsesis. It means that the grain or the flour we're talking about has to be in a certain way similar to the dough because the Braita put them all together. Which means ma hotam oichwa be'ene, when it comes to the dough, the whole thing is edible. It's all food. The same thing over here. When it comes to grain, it also has to be that it's the food itself, meaning without the parts that are usually thrown away. Now, a grain, a kernel of grain, of wheat or barley, usually has, it comes when you first harvest it, it has various shells and peels over the actual grain itself. You have an outer shell. You have an outer shell which is broken up during the threshing and then winnowed and thrown away afterwards. You have inner shells that sometimes are ground up with it when you make whole wheat bread or pumpernickel bread or whatever, and sometimes you take them off. You have three layers over there. Here, for example, Rashi says, let's say, for example, the shells of barley kernel, of barley grains, are not edible at all. Or you have the bran that comes together with wheat flour. Those kinds of things. When we say that if you have a kebesa combined together, it means without those things. It means only with the flour. By the time you get to the point of it being ground up into dough. By the time you get to the point of having taken the flour and mixed it with water and make a dough, whatever is in there is only the edible part. Right. And if you left the bran in there, fine. It means you want whole wheat flour, but you're going to bake whole wheat bread. But instead of, in other words, as opposed to, so the same thing, we're talking about the grain over here, you wouldn't count towards the kebesa of grain, you wouldn't count these shells and peels and things. That's the point Rava is saying. Okay, the question is, Valtanya, but we learn in a b'risa, chita ben klufa ben she'en a klufa mitzarefes. As far as a wheat, oh, sorry, no, it's not a question. V'ha'tanya, v'nechosa, Rashi says, yeah. And indeed, we learn in a braisa that there is such a distinction. Chita ben klufa ben she'en klufa. When it comes to wheat, whether it's peeled from its shells or whether or not, mitzarefes and combined together, because the shell. So one second. So the point is, the shell, or at least some of the shells of a wheat kernel are edible. You could eat them. You could eat them together with the grain. Therefore, they count towards the kebesa. The Gemara talks about. We're going to learn in Cholin. We'll learn later this year, Beis Hashem, when we get later in the Masechta Cholin. We'll learn about the concept called a shomer. There's a concept that for as far as Tumas Oichlin, many times we count. You have something over the fruit or the grain or whatever it is that protects it, called a shomer. And you learn from Sukkim that counts towards Tumas Oichlin, the peel of an orange, let's say, or various other kinds of peels and shells like that. Right. And the point is, even though they themselves are not necessarily edible, but they're a shomer, they protect the fruit inside, and therefore they can be mitzvah. So here it's the same kind of thing. On the other hand, sa'ora, when it comes to barley, klufa mitzvah, that's only if peeled, then it counts towards the kebesa. She'ena klufa, ena mitzarefes. But if it's not peeled of the outer shell, then it's not mitzaref. And in fact, Rashi says not only the peel itself won't count towards the kebesa if it's not shelled. If the barley is not shelled, the barley grains themselves won't count towards the kebesa because then they're separated from the rest of the food by the shell. And since the shell itself is not edible, so it blocks off those barley grains from being from combining. So that was Robert's point. In other words, that when we put together
species where the shell is edible,
so therefore that's the difference with wheat. The shell is softer. You can eat it together with the wheat. Again, you have different mafarshim talk about those different kinds of shells. Again, you have like two or three different shells or whatever. So we're talking certain ones, whatever. The point is that you have certain shells that with the wheat are edible and with barley are not. And therefore, when it comes to wheat, they will combine with it. But when it comes to barley, they won't. And not only that, they'll block off the barley kernels themselves from counting towards the cabeza. So all the same, that's the point. When we said that, when we mentioned teruah, which is grain, and flour, and dough, the point is, just like by the time it reaches the stage of dough, everything in it is edible. The same thing. When we're talking about grain, it has to be that it's at the stage. It has to be that everything that's with it, all the shells and peels and everything that are with it, are edible. Only then are they going to count towards the cabeza.
If it's a shell that you could eat, then it's
right. Okay. That's why the Braita mentioned those three things together. Okay. The question is, Edini, is that so? You're telling me that barley, for example, doesn't count towards the cabeza of food as far as Tumas Ochlin unless all the shells are removed. Well, ton of Rabbi Shmuel, but we learn in a Braita of the Yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel that when the Pasuk talks of, when the Pasuk talks about Tumas Ochlin, and it says, Alkol Zera Zerua Asher Yizoreya, it says water or one of the Shiva Mashkim falls on any seed that can be planted, and then Tumo later on touches it, and it becomes Tome. Implying, what's the expression? Asher Yizoreya, Kederach Shemene Adam Maisi and Lizriya. It means that the seed is in the state where people normally plant it that way. Chita B'Klipasa, the wheat is planted with its shell still on, with Oda B'Klipasa, the barley is planted with its shell on, Vadoshin. The Klipasan, lentils are planted still with their shells on. So, and by the way, I mean, Tosis points out over here from a different Gemara that implies that wheat is usually planted without the shells. But okay, Tosis says that it doesn't mean necessarily that it usually is, but even if it's planted without a shell, it still grows many shells as it grows. And the Gemara mentions the Kavachoyim of Tchiyat HaMesim, that people who are buried with Tachrichim, when Tchiyat HaMesim comes and arise again with their Tachrichim. And you have other Mephoshim will explain that maybe in different places. Some places they plant wheat with the shell, and some places without. Anyway, the point is, that's the point. That Tonad Ve'er Abishmol is clearly saying that barley, for example, can become Tomei even when it still has its shells on, and we just said before that not. The answer is, like Kasha, there's no contradiction because one is talking about when they're moist, and one of them is talking about when they're dry. So Rashi explains when they're moist, then they have the din of a shomer because they protect the kernel that's inside them. So therefore, and a shomer counts towards the cabeza. When they're dry, then they crumble anyway. They crumble and they fall off. So therefore, they're not a shomer. Rashi brings another explanation, maybe that when they're still fresh, then you're able to eat them. When they're dry, you're not able to eat them. And then you have the Rambam seems to have a different understanding that we're not talking about whether the shell is fresh or dry, we're talking about whether the kernel is fresh or dry. Okay. Anyway, the point is that we have a way of reconciling it. Sometimes the shells will count, sometimes they won't. Okay. Then we said in the Mishnah, V'asurin b'chodosh m'lifnei ha-Pesach, we said that all these five minim are also as chodosh before Pesach, or before the Omer. The Menahat Nili, where do we know that from? The Rashi explains the question is similar to what we had at the top of the Omer. How do we know that it only applies to these five and not to Odas and Doshim? Tosfos says, that's not the question. If that's the case, the Gemara should have started the question the same way. Only these, not Odas and Doshim. Why not? But Tosfos explains the question is the other way around. Given that the Omer is barley, maybe only barley is also a Kaddish. Maybe the other four minim are not also a Kaddish. So how do we know that it applies to all five of them? So according to Rashi, the question is, how do we know it doesn't apply to seven things, the five minim plus odors and doshan? And according to Tosfos, how do we know that it applies to five and not less? Okay. Anyway, the answer is, Amar Shlokish, Achya Lechem Lechem Masa. We make a Zeta Shava on the word Lechem for Masa. We established before Masa can be only from the five minim, because only those five can be chomet. Here you have the expression of Lechem, Bakoli, Bakarim, Aloy, Sosu, in connection with Chodosh. So therefore, it's the same definition, only the five grains. Then we said the lichter lifnei ha'omer, that you're not allowed to harvest them before the omer or before Pesach. The menahani mili, where do we know that? We make a gzera shava, lachem lachem. So that's how we know, therefore, it doesn't apply to odas and doichan, because odas and doichan master can be made from. And conversely, master can be made from any of the chamesha tamilin, therefore chadash applies to all five of them.
So which pasuk lechem and this pasuk says?
You have the pasuk lechem only by master, and you have the pasuk lechem v'koli v'chan, v'loi sochu by chadash.
So we take the lechem,
which are whatever is lechem, and as far as master, whatever is lechem, as far as master is lechem, as far as chadash. Okay. We said the lichter lifnei ha'omer, you're not allowed to harvest these minim before the omer. Menahani mili, where do we know that from? Omer of Yechanan, after reshis mechala. We make another Gzeira Shava of the word Reshit in connection with Chala. We said before that Chala, all these five minim, and only these five, are Chayiv and Chala. And by Chala, it uses the expression Reshit Barisei Sechem. Here it says, in connection with the Omer, in connection with the with harvesting the Omer, that the Omer has to be Reshit Sechem, the first of your harvest. So whatever applies to Chala applies to the Omer. If you're not, just like these five are the ones that are Chayiv and Chala, so also these five are the five that you can't harvest before the Omer. So the question is, my kodim la omer. What do we mean before the omer? Now you have two stages in bringing the omer. You have the harvesting of the omer, which usually happens, as we learned earlier in the parak, on the night before the 16th of Nisan, on Matzah, the first day of Yom Tov, and then you have the bringing of the omer, which takes place the next morning. Which, when we say over here kodim la omer, that the also a kodesh before the omer, what does that mean? Rav Yonah Omer Kodim Ksidah Omer. Rav Yonah says it means before the Omer is harvested. Meaning, in other words, Rashi says, we learned a couple of days ago, we had a machloikas. Is it that Minat Torah, we had Rav Yochanan and Mishlokish saying Minat Torah, you're actually allowed to eat Chodesh from the first thing in the morning on Kesayin Nisan? Because that's the point. In other words, we had Rav Yochanan and Mishlokish saying Heir Mizrach, as soon as it became light in the east, you are allowed to eat Chodesh, you're not supposed to, or not you're allowed to, the lav of Chodesh goes away at that point. At that point, the person eats it, he's over maximum on a mitzvah, I'd say, and Tosfos says there maybe even not that. So you're supposed to wait until the Omer is brought, but midaraisa, you would be allowed to eat it at that point. And then we have Rabbi Yechon Mazaka, it's Takana saying, when there's no bit mitzvah, then you have to wait the whole day. So Rashi is saying, according to Rashi, it comes out that Rabbi Yechon basically holds like that. Once the Omer is harvested, you're allowed to eat from it before the Omer is even brought the next day. You're not supposed to. You're supposed to wait until the Omer is brought, but you're not chayv malchus at that point. Rav Yosef Bar Zavda Omer Kodem Havat the Omer. Rav Yosef Bar Zavda says it means before the Omer is offered, that you're not allowed to eat chadosh until the Omer is actually offered. Because he learns like what Rav and Shmuel said over there, that only when the Omer is brought does the Yisrael Kaddish go away. Tosfos argues on Rashi on that, because for one thing, if we're talking about Heir Mizrach, why are you mentioning Kedah, which takes place the night before? Okay, Chidoshim on Yechotim, Rashi points that. Why are you mentioning Kedah in the Gemara over here, if according to Rashi, the key thing, according to Rav Yonah, is that it came the next morning, Heir Mizrach, which is the next morning. Okay, Chidoshim on Yechotim, Rashi points out that you could, in principle, harvest the Omer any time during the night. I guess they would usually do it at the beginning of the night. But in principle, you could if you didn't have a chance to do it first thing that night. Let's say that time we learned earlier when they had to go far away from Yerushalayim to harvest it or whatever. So it might be later in the night when they're able to get there. So therefore, it's much closer together. But still, anyway. So the Tosfos has a number of problems with Rashi's explanation, and the Tosfos has a different explanation that we're talking about. This that we're saying you're not allowed to harvest before Pesach. What is that referring to? Is it that you're not allowed to harvest other grain until the Omer is harvested, but after that it's Mutter? Or is it that you're allowed, or is it that you're not allowed to harvest other grain until the Omer is brought?
All in out, it's all.
Again, if you say that Chodesh applies in Chutzlaret, then you would have the question in Chutzlaret as well. Mind you, so according to Tosfos, the question is, when are you allowed to harvest? Are you allowed to harvest on the night of Chesayin Nisan, as soon as the Omer is harvested, or do you have to wait until the next day when it's brought, and only then are you allowed to start harvesting? Mind you, I mean, since you're mentioning Chutzlaret, so the Shagat Aryeh actually has a tshuva about the whole issue of Chodesh in Chutzlaret, and he wants to say that in fact, in Eretz Yisrael it would definitely be also before any of these times, and in Chutzlaret, depending, if you say that Chodesh is also in Chutzlaret, then also then. Many other posts can disagree with that, and they say that harvesting in Chutzlaret isn't a problem at all because you can't bring the Omer from Chutzlaret, and the rule the Gemara is going to say later is it's only places from which you can bring, from which in principle you can bring the Omer, are you not allowed to harvest before the Omer. But Chutzlaret is where you can't, which is actually true. Chutzlaret, you can't bring the Omer from anyway. No, usually they would go right outside Yerushalayim. We learned earlier on some of Zalab, there was a time when all around Yerushalayim was destroyed, and therefore they had to...
When by the time the sheikh was going to say the whole world is in Israel, are we going to behave?
Okay, so maybe the Shagatalia would say in that case. I mean, the fact is you still have Eretz Yisrael, still has a certain status of its own. Your Eretz Yisrael will still have a higher kedusha than a lot of the kedusha of your shrine. So, okay. All right. Anyway. Okay.
It will be an Eretz Yisrael.
Yeah. Okay. All right, onward. Okay, so the Gemara says, Tanan. Let's look at our Mishnah and see if we can make our Mishnah work according to both of these opinions, or see if we can prove from the Mishnah one way or the other. We said, Asurin v'chadosh melifne Pesach v'liktor lifne oimim. We said that these five minim are also as chadosh before Pesach, and they're also to harvest before the oimim. So, Bishleim Lamander Amakodim Havas the Omer, according to Rabbi Yosi Bar Zavda, who says that that it's author to eat or to harvest, as the case may be, before the Omer is brought, which is on the morning of Tetzayin, well, that explains Heiner Order of Lahu Vatani Lahu. That explains why the Mishnah didn't just combine them together, because it couldn't combine them together. There's harvesting you're allowed to the night before already, and eating you have to wait until the next day when it's brought. But if he's going to say that the whole thing is only until it's harvested, and after that you're allowed to eat it, then the Mishnah should just combine them together. And just say, just say you're not allowed to harvest them or to eat them before Pesach. Rashi over here says, I prefer the Girsa after B'chodesh V'Lichter L'Lichnei Omer, not before Pesach, because the key thing isn't Pesach, the key thing is when the Omer is harvested on the night after Pesach. Okay. Anyway, the point is, so you can't say that that's their machlokas, because if you understand their machlokas that way, then the wording of the Mishnah doesn't work according to Rav Yonah. So no. Ela itmar aseite itmar. So no. If this machlokas was said of Rav Yonah and Rav Yosi Bar Zavda, it was said regarding the sefer of the Mishnah, where the Mishnah said in Yishrishu kodim la'omer ha'omer matiron, that if grain took root before the omer, then the omer of that year is matirah. So now we have to ask, my kodim la'omer, what does it mean before the omer? At what point did this grain take root? There we have, Rav Yonah omer kodim ha'vas ha'omer. Rav Yonah says as long as it took root before the omer is offered on Tezayin Nissan in the morning, so even if it hadn't yet taken root the night before, as long as it took root before the omer is brought on the morning of Tezayin, then you're good. And says it has to have taken root before the Omer is harvested, the night before. You might have to pull it out and see if it took root, but different Mephoshim talk about the 3 days or the 14 days that we say. Are we talking about Nesles? Are we talking about, for example, 3 days means 72 full hours? Or would it be Nixatay and Kukula? If you say Nixatay and Kukula, then yeah, it's a little harder to understand because the night and the day both belong to the same day. But if you say 72 hours, then it's very simple. It means if you plan, then it's very clear. It means, in other words, that, So you have two different ways of understanding it, whether it means 72 hours, for example, according to the Shach, in 3 days, or whether it would mean Mitzvah Sayyid Kukulay, that, for example, if you planted an Erev Pesach, then you have your Dalad, Tetzvav, Tetzayin, and that's enough. Or maybe not, or, you know, planted at your Gimel, in other words, in order to have 3 days before the day of Elohim. Okay. Fine. Omelet of Elazar, So that's the way we understand the machlokas. That Rav Yonah and Rav Yosi Bar Zavda are arguing not about when you're allowed to start harvesting or eating, but rather at what point do we say that when the grain has taken root, does it have to have taken root before the harvesting of the omer or before the bringing of the omer in order to be mutter and in order to be mutter through this year's omer? But now we have to talk about the general concept. How do we know that once it takes root, it becomes mutter from the omer? So that's Amalei of Elazar that Rav Yoshiya did, right? So Rav Elazar said to Rav Yoshiya, who was his contemporary, meaning, in other words, as opposed to Rashi says, there was another Rav Yoshiya who was older, who was older than them. He was a Tana, Rav Elazar, and this Rav Yoshiya over here, Amaroyim. So Rav Elazar says to the Rav Yoshiya, who was his contemporary, Loi Tesev Akarach, don't sit down on your feet. Adim Afarshas Leilahom Asnissen, until you explain this Mishnah. We've talked about a number of times before what that means. Don't sit. It means, for example, it means stand up and say this. Like this is an important din, and therefore you should be saying there. Therefore you should be saying it standing. Or the Ben Yoyada says a verse on it, and it means in olden times. The Gemara tells us in the Gila, in the olden days until the time of Rav Gamliel Azakin, easy things they would learn standing up, and harder things they would learn sitting down. So like he's saying to him, this is such an easy thing. I expect you should be able to stand it, or not just as an easy thing. Actually, some other Mephoshim say that. He says, I consider this an explanation of this to be as important as Terdos and Shor HaShoinim, as precious to me as Terdos and Shor HaShoinim. Therefore, I want you to say it while you're standing. Because in the old days, that's what they would have done. Or whatever. It means, basically, don't get comfortable before you explain the atonement. this that we said in the Mishnah, that once grain takes root, however it is, 3 or 14 or whatever it is days, then the Omer is master. How do we know that? Minayin lo Omer shemaster b'hashrasha. How do we know that? So that's it. He says, Minolon. So where do we, what the Gemara says, what do you mean, Minolon? What do you mean, where do we know? Dichtiv Aviv. We look, the Pasuk says, regarding the Omer, it says when you bring a minchas bikurim tashem, you bring it from Aviv. Aviv means, in other words, implies that, now Aviv means a newly grown grain. Lav, but that means fully grown grain. Lav, miklal, the lav Aviv, apparently the implication is there's other grain that exists at that time, which is not Aviv, and nevertheless it's mutter. So therefore, in other words, so obviously, therefore, you know that once it took root, it's mutter.
Have you translated it?
The word aviv, lav mikral de'ikah, the lav aviv, doesn't that imply that there's other grain which is not aviv and yet becomes mutter from the owner? So there you go. Once it's growing in the ground, then yes. The question is, the lav aviv, fine, or gilma the lav aviv, actually. Maybe it means, fine, it's not aviv, it's not fully grown yet. Or the olam de'ayel shlish, but maybe at least it has to have grown one third of its growth in order for the Omer to be masculine. In other words, you would argue like this. You would say the Omer has to be brought from fully grown grain. You're arguing that the implication is any grain at this point that's at least growing, even if it's not bechlal mature yet, even if it's not even one third grown yet, the Omer is masculine. But maybe not. Maybe the pasuk means to imply like this. If it's rooted in the ground but not yet a third grown, the Omer is not masculine. And it's not even usable for the oymer. If it's one-third grown, fine. Then you could argue that the one-third is the minimum level at which people would normally be able to eat it.
And therefore,
the oymer can be macerate. On the other hand, when it comes to the oymer itself, you have to wait until the actual barley that you bring the oymer from has to be fully grown. But still, how do you know that once it took root in the ground, even though it's nowhere near one-third yet, that the oymer should be macerate? Elo, Amar Shmuel, so Shmuel says, you're right, we have to give a different answer. The Pasuk mentions elsewhere in Parashat Yirei that you count the 7 weeks of Tzira, Mehochel Chermesh, from when the sickle starts cutting the grain. Chermesh is a sickle, again, implying Lav Mikval De'ikah De'Lav Bachemesh. In other words, implying, again, you have other grain that's not yet ready for the sickle, because it's not yet mature, and yet the Omer is mature. Okay, again, the question is, Delav Bar Chemish or Olam Shachas. Okay, but again, you could argue the same way. Maybe it means that it's not yet ready for the sickle, but on the other hand, it's not yet ready for the sickle, but at least needs to have been one third of the growth, which is the minimum for it to be considered grain. Before that it's called Shachas, as we're going to talk about, and then before it reaches one third, it's called Shachas. Normally it's only usable as animal food at that point. So you still don't have a proof. Amr Rav Yitzchak Kama. Okay, but Rav Yitzchak says, the Pasuk doesn't just mention the word chermish. It mentions the word kama, which means standing grain. Again, implying lav mikval, the lav bar kama. In other words, implying that you apparently have other grain, which is not yet kama. It only started taking root in the ground. It's not yet standing up straight as a stalk. So that's long
before it's kama.
Right. Well, in other words, it's not even kama. It's not even kama yet. In other words, it's not even kama yet. In other words, no, it's before shachas even. Kama, at least, one second. Kama would imply at least that you have stalks that are standing up.
Yes.
That's before you even reach shachas. The shachas is, it's called shachas once the stalks are growing, but the seeds, the kernels, are not yet one third grown. But you have even before that. When you plant the seed in the ground. That's the point.
Relevant.
Because the relevance is, we're saying, if the prophet is saying that you start counting spirit of the Omer, from when the sickle starts cutting the comma, implying, in other words, that the comma itself is what you bring the Omer from the grain that's standing. But implying you have grain that's at an even earlier stage than that. It's not yet standing because you have the kernel buried in the ground and is developing roots underground and hasn't even put anything above ground yet, and already the Omer is master. Because otherwise the Pasuk would have no reason to mention the word kama.
Kama is when there's a stalk coming out. When
there's a stalk coming out, right.
That's when the Omer is...
No. So we're saying, even before that, it's implying that the Omer is master. Once in the ground, the Omer is brought from the kama. But implying even something that's not yet part of the kama, because not yet standing above ground, nevertheless, the Omer is master.
Where do you get that?
Because that's what we're saying, comma. The politic has to stress the word comma. Yeah. And we know, obviously, the owner has to be brought from fully mature grain, which at that point is long since standing above ground. So why would the politic have to mention the word comma at all? The implication must be that even if it's not comma yet, the omer is mature. However, as far as the actual barley that you bring for the omer, it has to be, it's obviously fully mature.
If the politic says comma, why... How could you infer that you can take it before comma?
Not that you can take the omer from before comma,
omer,
but that it should be mutter, that even if it's not comma, even if it's not comma, that's because otherwise the pasuk didn't have to say the word comma at all. Because obviously the omer itself is brought from comma.
But the pasuk may need...
No. Well, one second. So the question is, the law about comma, okay, maybe though you could argue that it doesn't have to be comma, it doesn't have to be fully standing yet, but at least it has to have grown a little bit above ground, enough that you can... Well, agam, Rashi says, is where it reaches the stage where at least the stalk may not be standing well above ground, but at least it's long enough that you can take the end of it and bend it down to touch the root of it.
Okay. So then, the first stage of summer.
You could argue at least that. But you still don't have a proof. Ella, Omar Rava, no. Rava says the proof is from the pasuk that says, yet another pasuk in Parashas Mishpatim, that mentions it mentions that you have Chagak Kosir, which is Shavuot, which is the Bikurim Ma'asecha Asher Tizra, which is the Bikurim of your work that you plant. The word Asher Tizra is not needed in the pasuk. It means Mishas Zriya. It means as soon as it's planted, then already the Omer is master. Well, so that's the question. Then by that logic, even if it didn't take root yet, as long as you planted it in the ground, the answer is Amalei Sudin. The Rava answers to the Papa, he calls him Sudin. No, Rashi. Rashi has two explanations. One is that Sudni means a distinguished Talmud Chacham. You have the expression Soid Hashem Nireya. We say it in the Philip of Pain. The secret of Hashem is given to those who fear him. So by calling him Sudni, Rava is complimenting him, you're a great Talmud Chacham, and I'll give you the answer. The other explanation Rashi says is that Sudni means a brewer. Rav Papa made his fortune from a brewery. In fact, the Gemara actually brings from a Gemara in Stockton that Rav Papa said, if I hadn't been a brewer that would brew beer, I wouldn't have become rich. That was his parnasa. So therefore, so according to that, Rava is calling him Sudna. Rashi also mentions the verse is that Sudna is also a compliment because the Gemara explains over there, Rashi brings it at the end, that Sudna is short for the word Sudna, a nice secret in the sense that it makes a person rich and therefore you have the ability to do Gemara Safadim. So either way, either Rava is complimenting him for his knowledge in Torah, or he's complimenting him for his ability in Gemara Safadim. Anyway, the answer is Basodeh. The answer is, the pasuk doesn't just say Asher Tizra that you plant. It also says Basodeh, implying that it has to be to a certain extent like part of the field. Only once it develops roots, where now it's sort of like attached to the ground, then you can say, but before that it's Asher Tizra, but it's not yet Basodeh. So the conclusion is, so there's our proof. Ultimately, there's our proof. We didn't prove it from Oviv, we didn't prove it from Chemish, we didn't prove it from Kama. Ultimately, we prove it from the two expressions together, Asher Tizra and Basodin. Asher Tizra implies once it's planted, even before it's above ground. But on the other hand, Basodin teaches us that it does have to be at least attached to the ground with roots. So that's what it is.
Basodin,
right.
Means they have, so you mean, like Yosef was saying, test them, you take one out.
Maybe you take one out and see, or maybe just you wait, you know after a certain amount of time it's taking root or whatever, yeah. And I don't know, you necessarily have to take it out per se. I mean, you could try, well, there's a below ground, yeah, I guess practically speaking, yeah, I guess. Okay. All right. Mishnah says, you are allowed to harvest grain before the Omer from the irrigated fields that are in the valleys. And you have actually different understandings and different stories over here. Do we mean only if they're both, they're irrigated and they're in the valleys? Or is it one or the other, if they're irrigated, no matter even if they're on hills, or if they're in the valleys? And the idea of it is, so we learned the other day, and Rashi brings it over here, two reasons. Number one, they're going to spoil faster. Because it's in a valley, if you don't harvest them when they're ripe, then they're going to spoil faster because the climate is hotter in the valley. It's hotter, it's moister or whatever, so they're going to spoil faster, and therefore the Chachamim are not going to impose on you to not harvest them until after the Omer, because they're going to spoil. The other reason is because they're poor quality. You anyway can't bring them from the Omer. You anyway can't bring them from the Omer, because the Omer has to be brought from the best quality barley. So therefore, you're allowed to harvest them before the Omer.
Are you saying you can only bring them from the glaucoma from hills.
Yeah, from hills or yeah. Abeloid Goitchin, but we're going to learn later on in the chapter, we're going to have a discussion of what kind of fields they would bring the grain for carbonates from. Yeah, we'll talk about it in the page, we'll get there. Okay. Abeloid Goitchin, we're not allowed to stack up the grain. Because, two reasons. One is because we learned the other day, we had a possibility that maybe while you're stacking it, you may come to eat some of it, again, because you can eat raw kernels of grain, and then you'd be over on the Issue of Kodesh. The other reason is because harvesting it, fine, you have to do because it's going to get ruined otherwise, but stacking it, wait till after the diamond.
Harvesting is
cutting it from the ground. But that you have to do because if it stays attached to the ground, it's going to spoil. But harvesting, but stacking it up, you can wait. Now, the people of Yericho is in a valley near the Dead Sea, so they, near the Yarden, so they would harvest their grain, they're in a valley, they would harvest their grain, and the Chachamim approved of that, but again, we just said that they can harvest from fields that are in valleys. The Goichin Shaloi B'Sen Chachamim, however, they also stacked it up, not with the consent of the Chachamim, however, V'Len Michal B'Yadim, but the Chachamim weren't Moicha on them to tell them you're doing wrong.
What does that mean? They were doing it earlier than the...
They're doing it earlier than the Omer is brought. Stacking. No, so that's the thing. So you said in the Mishnah that you're not allowed to stack it before the Omer is brought.
And
then compile it, yeah.
That's
Meruach. No, so you're not quite the stage of Meruach yet. Goitchin would also be Goitchin could also be even before you thresh it and do whatever the rest of the thing. You stack it up. You stack it up in a pile. You stack up like all the bundles of wheat or whatever in a pile. That would be a Goitchin. Before you even process. So the Anshe Yericho, their harvesting was Ritzon Chachamim, Chachamim approved of it, because fine, they're in a valley. The Goichin was Shaloi Ritzon Chachamim, Chacham didn't approve, because he said in the Mishnah, you're not supposed to do it before the Omer. However, you leave them in the field, then. V'loin Michu V'yodem, however, the Chachamim weren't Moicha on them, because they had a certain argument that it could be Mutter, because they didn't hold of the Gzera that you might come to eat from it. We had the other day, we had a Machlokas of Meir and Rabbi Hoda, whether there's such a Gzera.
What did they do?
So that's the thing. So these people would stack it up in a Hamor Mishnah. Continues the Mishnah. We'll discuss it more in the Mishnah. Continues the Mishnah. Kosa l'shachas makil l'behema. You are allowed to, here we're going to talk about shachas again, you are allowed to, before the owner, you're allowed to harvest it as shachas, to give to an animal to eat. Shachas meaning that it's not one-third grown yet. And here also you have different gersoys. Tosfos elsewhere talks about that maybe it's two different things. You could cut. Does it mean over here that you can only cut it in order to feed to an animal, but if a person were to eat it, then it would be offer? Or does it mean two different things? You're allowed to harvest it as shachas, even for a person to eat. People don't normally eat it as shachas, but they could in a pinch. Or you can harvest it even when it's more grown than that to feed to animals. Okay. Anyway, Amar Rav Yehuda Amasai. So Rav Yehuda says, when does that apply? Only if he started harvesting it to feed the animals before it reached one-third. So then you're allowed to continue harvesting even after it reaches one-third.
What's the thing about shachas?
Shachas is before it reaches one-third.
Yeah, but stopping when?
But whatever it is, however long it takes wheat to grow. So it's when it reaches one-third of the size or one-third of the yield of flour or whatever. I think the Yerushalmi talks about it in the Yerushalmi and Peyer or whatever talks about what exactly is the definition of shlish or whatever. But Rav Yehuda says that if only this that the Tanakhama is saying you're allowed to cut it and you're allowed to harvest it as shachas is only if you started while it was still shachas. And then you're able to continue harvesting even after it develops to one-third. Rav Shimon Omer Yikter V'Yachal Af Meshehegi Shlish. Rav Shimon disagrees with that. He says you can harvest it to feed to animals even after it grew one-third. The Issur, he says, is only to harvest it when it's going to be people that are eating it. We'll discuss the various opinions of the Gemara. Here are some other cases where you're allowed to harvest before the Omer. The Kotsin Mepnei Nesios, you're allowed to harvest the grain before the Omer if because of plants, because of newly planted trees. So again, Rashi has two explanations over here. One is that it means that if you have newly planted trees growing nearby. Now, again, later on Pehei, when we talk about what kind of fields you're able to use, you're able to bring grain for carbonus from, you're not allowed to bring from fields where there are trees growing.
because the trees weaken the ground, and therefore the grain is not the best quality. So, I don't know how far. So Rashi's first explanation is, again, similar to what we said in the Mishnah, earlier in the Mishnah, that you can harvest from irrigated fields, because you can't use those for the Omer anyway. Same thing over here. You can't use barley from fields where there are trees growing for the same reason, so therefore you can harvest it before the Omer. Rashi's second explanation is that the problem is, if you have these young trees too close to the plants, too close to the grain, then you have a problem of kalai. You can have. Rashi gives an example. You have, let's say, you planted grain over there. Later on, you had some seeds from trees, let's say, fell over there, from fruit seeds, fell over there and started growing on their own. So now you find there are young plants among your grain, and therefore you want to uproot enough of the grain around them so it'll be far enough so you won't have a problem with kalayim. So that you're allowed to do because you're doing it for a mitzvah. Mitzvah days for Abel to harvest that grain. Because then you're doing it for the sake of a mitzvah to avoid kalayim. Also, mitzvah beis ha'evel, you're allowed to harvest grain before the omer in order to make room for a place for birkas avelim. You have the minhag was in those days that after a funeral or during a funeral or whatever, you would have they would sit down in various places and they'd say various statements and be Menachem Avol and whatever. So therefore, so sometimes you don't have an available space and you need to make space in your field for it. So then you're allowed to harvest grain in order to make room for such a thing. And again, it's a mitzvah. Mitzvah bittul beis hamikdash, the same thing. If you have a place where people need to sit and learn Torah, and there's no building large enough for them, let's say. So the same thing. You want to harvest some grain to make room for them. You're allowed to do that. But even in those cases, lo yasa osim krichos, you shouldn't bundle up the grain into krichos, which are, Rashi explained, tied up bundles. Avamanichan svasim, you can just leave them as unbundled together, but unbundled. Tosfos later on discusses that maybe what it is is that krichos are large, small bundles. Svasim would be even smaller ones. You have Mephoshim will explain that svasim is like handfuls. Whatever. The point is, you do the minimum amount to make the space, but not more than necessary before the
Later on, can you use them or not?
Of course, later on you can use them. Yes,
you can.
Okay. Continues the mission. The mitzvah of the omer loving in a comma. The proper way of doing the mitzvah of the omer is that you cut standing barley. You cut it for the sake of the mitzvah. Loy mata. If you couldn't find any standing barley, yavim in a omer, then you can bring from bundles of grain that were harvested beforehand. Similarly, mitzvah to love him in a lach. The ideal mitzvah is that the omer comes from fresh barley, as we learned before. It should be so fresh that you can crunch it between your fingers. Loy mosa. If you don't find that yavi yavish, then you can bring dry.
Dry is not crumble, no?
No, I shouldn't say crumble, but like you can crush it between your fingers. There's a lot of moisture in it. Mitzvah to lichta balayla. Also, the mitzvah, the proper way of doing the mitzvah is that you harvest it at night. But if you did harvest it on the day of Tzayin Nisan, then it's also kosher. The Joches, the Shabbos, and the Mitzvah, bringing the Omer, is override Shabbos, as we said at the beginning of the text.
The Mishnah you said later on, we'll be learning about.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Big Marsh Torah, Tanya. Rabbi Yamin, now, how do we, this that we said in the Mishnah, there are certain kinds of harvesting you're allowed to do. For example, we said in an irrigated field or in the valleys or whatever. How do we know that? Maybe the Torah is saying you can't do any harvesting of grain before the Omer, period. Tanya, we learn in a bright, sort of Binyamin Omer. It's like this. The Pesuk starts off by saying that when you harvest the grain of Eretz Yisrael, then you should bring the Omer, which sounds like it means that you do your regular harvesting, and then later on you bring the Omer. But the Pesuk continues that you have to bring the beginning of your harvest to the Kohen as the Omer. So what is it? Are you allowed to harvest before it or not? Okay, so how do we reconcile that? It means mimakam shatam maybe iatakoster, from places where conceivably you could bring the oimer, those are the ones you're not allowed to harvest before the oimer. Mimakam shatam maybe, the places that you anyway can't bring the oimer from, like irrigated fields, because the barley there isn't high quality, atakoster. Then you can harvest such places before the oimer. We're asked
because of the tube
soaking. So the question is, Ema, okay, but if you're going to understand it that way, you could just as well say like this. Minin sha'ata maybe iyata kosher. Maybe it would mean only the type of grain, namely barley, from which you bring the carbon armor, that you're not allowed to harvest beforehand. Minin sha'ata maybe iyata kosher, but other minim, you would be allowed to harvest wheat, any wheat, before the armor, because you anyway can't bring it for the carbon armor, or any spelt, etc. So maybe it means that way. The answer is Ahulay Masis Amrit. You can't say that Rabbi Yochanan on the basis of what Rabbi Yochanan said, that we learned at Zeta Shava, the word Reshis from Chala, that whatever minim Chala applies to, you're not allowed to harvest before the Omer, and therefore it's clear that it applies to all five minim. So the only way to understand the true Pesukim is not to distinguish between different minim, but to distinguish between different types of fields, irrigated and not, valleys and not, etc.
Because
you can't say that. We can't say, because then that would contradict it. Because we have, yeah. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, Anshi Yerushalayim Kotrin
Bersan. Would be allowed to cut from fields that are irrigated by Persian.
Right. Those you're allowed to cut.
Because
then you can't bring the omer from them because low quality. Right. We said in the Mishnah, Anshi Yerushalayim Kotrin Bersan Chachamim Goyshim Shalayim Bersan Chachamim. So we said the people of Yerichai, we said, would harvest their grain, and the Chachamim agreed to that, but they would stack it up before the Omer without the consent of the Chachamim. So let's analyze that. Man shamet le'dom michu v'le'michu, which Tana do we see that says that as far as there's a Mishnah in Sokka, which we're going to quote in a second, which mentions various things that the Anshe Yerichai did, and we have a machloikus of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Is it that some of these things the Chacham agreed with and some they didn't? Or is it that none of them the Chacham agreed with, but they weren't moicha on some of them and they were moicha on others? So, the Tanner who holds Michu v'lai Michu, who hold, when the Mishnah says over here that the stacking was Shaloi Bersen Chacham, but they weren't moicha, that would be Rabbi Yehuda. That would be specifically according to Rabbi Yehuda. But the problem with that is the Sefer of Yehuda considered the Anshi Yericha Bersen Chacham Havoi. But you're telling me that Rabbi Yehuda holds that the Anshi Yericha were allowed to harvest their grain, and the Chachamim approves of that.
But they didn't complain about
it. No. There's two different things. The Mishnah says they harvested Bersen Chachamim. In other words, the Chachamim said, you're right, you're allowed to harvest, you have no problem with that. The stacking was saying the Chachamim disapproved of, but they weren't Moicha. According to them, you have a contradiction. According to the mayor, there were things that the Chachamim actually approved of. But if the Mishnah is using the expression of Yiloy Michu V'yadam, implies the Chachamim disapproved, they just weren't Moicha. But on the other hand, the contradiction is there's a difference between approving and not disapproving. So there's three possibilities. You can approve, you're doing the right thing. There can be, you're doing the wrong thing, but I'm not going to be Moicha. And there can be, I'm going to be Moicha. You're not allowed to. No. But the point is, one second, but we're going to quote over here. Rabbi Yehuda holds, of all the six things that we're going to mention that the Anshe Yerichai did, Rabbi Yehuda holds the Chachamim didn't approve of any of them. There were none of them that were Bersan Chachamim. However, three of them, the Chachamim were Moicha, and three they were. On the other hand, when our Mishnah says, Kotsun Bersan Chachamim, that doesn't sound like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda seems to say that it wasn't Bersan Chachamim. Well, Hatanya, because we learned in a Braisa, you have a Mishnah in Sochim that mentions this, but you also have a Braisa that gives a different, the Mishnah just mentions six things, and you have a Braisa that spells out in more detail what the six things were, and I'm close about it. Shisha Dvarim also actually Yerichai, the people of Yerichai did six things, and we have to realize, by the way, we're going to see in this Gemara, over here, these people of Yerichai, we're not just talking about Sam Ami Oret or Korkei Oil or whatever, these are Tamil Chachamim. They had reason to argue for the validity of what they're doing. So some of the things are some approved of and some they didn't, or some they were Moicha and some they weren't. But anyway. So Shloisha Bersan Chachamim Shloisha Shaloi Bersan Chachamim. Three of them, the Tanakama of this Braitha, which is Reb Meir, says three of them the Chachamim approved of, and three of them they didn't approve of. The Elosh Bersan Chachamim, the ones the Chachamim approved of, they said you're doing the right thing, you can go ahead and do this, are as follows.
The Son of Hamish didn't say that.
1 second, we're going to get to that. Okay. So the three that the Chachamim approved of are as follows. Markivin d'kolim kol ayoyim. On the entire day of Erev Pesach, they would do Markivin d'kolim. The Gemara explains in Sochem over there, you have a discussion what Markivin d'kolim is. One explanation is that it means that they would inject a certain kind of potion, a certain mixture into the palm tree in order to strengthen it. And another explanation is that they would graft a branch from one palm tree onto another so that it'll produce fruit, because among palm trees you have only the female ones produce fruit, the male ones don't, or something like that. Like this, they graft them together so that they would pollinate and produce fruit. Whatever it is, the Mishnah mentions over there, you're not supposed to do that Erev Pesach afternoon. But wow, Erev Pesach afternoon, you're not allowed to do Malacha. It's similar to Chol HaMoed. You have the similar rules to Chol HaMoed as you're allowed to do Dover or other. So one thing is, the Anshei Yericho, one explanation is they felt...
They were coming to Chachamim, and 2 hours before Pesach, they were not queuing there.
Because the one... No, one second. So the argument is, they may have felt, one explanation that Mephoshim explained is they may have held it's a Dover or other. So therefore, just like you're allowed to do such a Malacha and Chol HaMoed if the tree is going to get damaged otherwise, they may have held the same thing over here. It's a Dover or other. It has to be done in a certain season, and therefore that means it. So therefore, according to the Tanakh of the Sprite, the Chachamim approved of that. No,
because
you could argue that it was a double offer. What? It's not a malacha chashuva. It's not such an important malacha. Yeah, whatever. Okay, but that Rashi says over here, la malacha chashuva. That they held, it's not considered really a substantial malacha. You have other mafoshim who explain that maybe it's a double. Okay. A point is, of the Chachamim, according to the Tanakhama of this Braita, approved of it and agreed it's not, and agreed that it's not a malacha chashuva. Or they agreed that it's a double offer or whatever it is. Number two, the Korchen of Shema. Number two, they would wrap up, they would combine together Shema. And again, the Gemara in Stockholm over there discusses a number of possibilities. It means that they didn't say Baruch Shem, or it means that they said Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad and immediately Baruch Shem without pausing between them, or that Baruch Shem Kamach Zalman Bar and immediately Vahafta without pausing between them, or it means that they said Hayoim Al-Lavavecha without pausing between them. They were Tamar Chachamim, and they had an argument that it's a valid thing to do. And again, according to the Tanakhama of this Braisa, I don't know how many times I have to repeat it, the Chachamim approved of it. The same Chachamim, the Chachamim approved of it. The Elo Shabbat the same Chachamim. According to that, according to the Tanakhama of this Braisa, which is their mayor, the Chachamim approved they're doing the right thing. Okay. Number three, the Kotrin Lugnet. Okay. The Kotrin Lifnei Omer, and number three, the Braita says, is they would harvest their grain before the Omer. All of those are Birtsan Chacham. The Eilu Shaloi Birtsan Chacham, and continues the Braita, the following three things that Anshei Yericho did, which were not with the approval of the Chachamim, which again doesn't necessarily mean that the Chachamim went so far as to be Moshe. Just the Chachamim said, we don't approve, the Chachamim didn't approve that they're doing the right thing. Number one, Gotrin Lifnei Omer, they would stack up their grain before the Omer, as we said in our Mishnah. Number two, umasirin gamzias shal hektish shal chorav shal shikma. They would be masir, if you had a tree that belonged to hektish, a carob tree, or a shikma tree, which is a type of fig, they would be masir the branches that grew on those trees afterwards. So as Marta explained, they held that our ancestors were masir the trees. That doesn't mean that the branches that grew out of them should still be offered.
As
hektish. Their ancestors have been masir these trees, that the trees belong to hektish. But the Amshir Yericho held the branches that grow out of them after they were declared hektish are not offered. The Chachamim disapproved of that. The Chachamim disapproved of that.
The tree is made to grow pears, and pears are...
Fine, pears, but he was talking about new branches that grew. And that's number two. And number three, a person pierces the Ganesehen or Padesehen, they would make holes in the fences around their gardens and around their orchards, Lahachal Nesher La'aniyim B'shnei Basaris, in order that Aniyim should be able to come in and eat the fruit that fell off the trees during years of drought. Now that's a good thing, but the problem was, the Shabbosis of the Yom Tovim, the problem was that they were allowing them to come in on Shabbos and Yom Tov, and the Chachamim disapproved of that because you're not allowed to eat fruit that falls off a tree on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Again, the Gemara brings a couple of possibilities over there in Sakin. One possibility is that we're talking about fruit that fell like partway down the tree and then got stuck in the branches or whatever, that like a branch fell with fruit on it, so the Anshei Yericho held there's no reason to be gozer that people might climb the tree and pick the fruit, whereas the Chachamim held there is reason to be gozer. Or another thing the Gemara mentions over there is maybe fruit that falls down would usually be only eaten by the birds. They held it's not muksa because after all people could eat it. The Chachamim held it is muksa. Whatever it is, they have their reasons, but the Chachamim disapproved of it. Okay. Divir Rameyer. So this is what Rameyer says. The first three things the Chachamim approved of, agreed that they're doing the right thing. The second three things the Chachamim said they're doing the wrong thing. Amalei Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda says to Rameyer, that can't be. If the first three things that Anshi Yericha did are with the approval of the Chachamim, you call on the Ma'isim Kain. Everybody should be able to do that. Everybody should be able to be Makiv and to call in the whole day and Koch and Ashma and harvest before the Ayin.
Why only
Yericha? Ella, Eilu Ve'Eilu Shaloi B'Sen Chachamim. So no, says Rabbi Hoda, all six of them were not with the approval of the Chachamim. The difference is, it's just three of them, the Chachamim were Moicha on them, and three of them they weren't, because at least they did have a reasonable argument you could make up here, Allah, that these things are Moicha. The Eilu Shaloi Michu B'Yadam, so, says Rabbi Hoda, the ones that they weren't Moicha on, so they didn't approve of it, but they didn't go tell them you're wrong, is my kivim to call them kolayoyim v'koch nashma v'koitzrin v'goitzrin lifnei olamer. Now here's the key thing. Reb Meir had mentioned that the koitzrin was with the approval of the Chachamim and the goitzrin was not with the approval of the Chachamim. The koitzrin is harvesting, is cutting it from the ground, and goitzrin is stacking it up. Here Reb Yehuda is mentioning koitzrin and goitzrin together. That's the point of our question. Reb Yehuda is saying the Chachamim disapproved of them harvesting, yet our Mishnah of both the harvesting and the stacking, yet our Mishnah distinguishes between them. Yeah. The Eilu Shemichu B'Yadam says, Rabbi Yehuda, what are the ones that the Chachamim did actually tell them we disapprove of? Number one, Matirin Gamzia Shal Hektish Shal Chorav Shal Shikma. Number one, again, we have these branches of Hektish trees that are also Bahana. And the people of Yericha held with their mortar, because they held with their ancestors that had only been Maktish, the trunk of the tree. Let's say, the reason why we're mentioning Chorav and Shikma particularly is because those kinds, the wood of them, they were very thick trunks, they're very usable as beams. So the argument could be, it's not that their ancestors never meant to be makdish the fruit. Choruvim, I mean, carobs, okay, they're edible, but they're not particularly important. Shikma also, the fruits of them aren't particularly important. What's important from these trees is the wood. So therefore, not necessarily, are the branches included.
So which part would be awesome?
So that you could argue, the trunk is definitely also. The argument was about the branches. Gamzias means branches. Number two, Upotin Pirtis Vagagasein or Pagasein Kidela Hakom Neshul Ani and Vishneva Thirdis Vishabatis Yamsarim. Number two is what you said, Reb Meir, that they would allow poor people to come and take fruit that fell off the tree on Shabbos and on Yom Tov. So that's the Chachamim were Moichan. And number three, Vinoisin Peyala Yeret, the third one that Rabbi Hodesh says, because again, he has differently than Reb Meir, he holds both Koitsun and Goitsun before the Omer are both the Chachamim disapproved of, that just weren't Moicha, so he has to have a different one to finish off his list of six. So he has that they gave payah from vegetables. And again, the Gemara discusses over there, I mean, again, the Anshi Yudis, they're talking about Chachamim, they knew what it says in the Mishnah, that vegetables are not chayav in payah, but they held, basically the Gemara discusses over there, we're dealing with turnips that were put away for storage, so they held, Rashi explains over there that you had the leaves of the turnips that put away with the turnips, and they would give payah from the leaves. And the Chachamim say no, because the leaves are not machnit de lakiyim, they're not something that's meant for long-term storage. Again, Hananel explains the turnips themselves are only stored long-term if you pickle them. Whatever it is, the halacha is you don't have to give payah from them. Anshi Yericha held that you do, and the Chachamim were moicha. Now, what's the problem? Let them give payah, let them give extra zakah to the Aniyim. The problem is, the Aniyim are going to think that it's not higher than Meiser. The payah is not higher than Meiser. If you give payah to the Aniyim, in general, payah, which is the next part of the Gemara, which will leave for tomorrow, the next part of the Gemara is going to be a still about payah. But yeah, payah any matmas aniyim, a phosphorus and turma and maizah. So like this, if they're giving payah from these turnip leaves or the turnips themselves or whatever, the aniyim are going to think they're phosphorus from turma and maizah, and they're not. Therefore, the chacham will
murder. What are they?
So you have, there's a number of rules that a plant has to have in order to be chayav and maizah. To be chayav and payah. You have to have, among other things, it has to be machnit lekiyum, something that can be stored long term. It has to be lekitase ka'achas, that it's all harvested at once, as opposed to, for example, figs, where different figs on the tree mature at different times. It has to be, I don't remember. I think I already got that.
But you don't have to know that when they pick up certain things, they have something that...
But no, so like this, in other words, peah is the person leaves a corner of his field untouched. And the Aniyim come and take it. So like this, these Anshi Yericha were doing that. They were leaving a corner of their turnip fields untouched for the Aniyim to come and pick turnips. And the Chachamim are telling them, you're wrong for doing that. Because the Aniyim are going to think that it's potter from Turma and Maisa. And they're going to end up eating it as kettle.
But when would that be potter?
So, for example, vegetables in general are potter. But fruit trees, grain, trees, beans and whatever are high in pay.
So, according to the coming, when should have people living.
So they're, according to them, non-Shirichah should leave payah from their trees and from their grain and from their beans and things like that, but not, for example, from their truma. But those instead, you harvest the whole thing and you give truma and meiser and then whatever. Okay, but like this, so actually Tosfos brings up the point, if hefker anyway, isn't hefker potter from meiser? So Tosfos gives a number of answers, one of them being that hefker is different. For something to be hefker and potter from meiser, it has to be that's available to both the poor people and the rich people. Peah, they're leaving it as peah, and it's supposed to be available only for the poor people. Mm-hmm. It's actually a machlokas, the chama and the filo in the sefer peah. The halacha, as usual, is like the filo, that it's only hefker if you declare a hefker that's available for both damim and yashirim. Okay, anyway, so to finish up the Gemara over here. Okay. Umichu v'yadam, so Rabbi Yehuda says those last three things the Chachamim were moicha in. So therefore, so the question is, again, our Mishnah says that the Anshi Yerichai, their harvesting was Ritzon Chachamim, but on the other hand, they're stacking the Chachamim were moicha. Now that doesn't fit according to either Rabbi Yehuda or according to the mayor. According to the mayor, the Chachamim weren't moicha on anything, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, they didn't approve of the harvesting either. So the Gemara says, "V'litai ne'ichnu." According to your own svara that you're asking the question, what do you mean, shisha? Shiva havu. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it comes out there are seven things, four things that they weren't moicha on, because tzira and gisha are koitzer and negoshin are two separate things. Plus, you have the one with palm trees and the one with shema, so the four things, and then you have three things that they were moicha on. So, what does Rabbi Yehuda mean when he says six? Elif smini kan tzira. The answer is you have to delete the word tzira from that braisa. According to Rabbi Yehuda, they were fully allowed to harvest their grain before the Omer, because again, their grain is in the valleys, and you can't bring the Omer from it anyway. But therefore, so when in the Braisa, when we said the Kotrin, the Goshen, look now, Omer, we have to take out the word Kotrin. The problem, according to Rabbi Yehuda, which the Chachamim were Moicha, and then is Goshen, look now, Omer, that they would stack it before the Omer. But the harvesting, they were perfectly allowed to do. So therefore, our mission is according to Rabbi Yehuda. And therefore, that fits with everything, then. If the mayor had been the one saying our Mishnah, he would say that they would koitzer b'rsan chachamim and they would goitchin shaloi, and they would go the shaloi b'rsan chachamim, but he wouldn't use the expression v'loi michu b'yadam. V'loi michu b'yadam is only according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda puts goitchin in the one that they weren't moicha. So Rabbi Yehuda is the one who says in our Mishnah. The harvesting they were allowed to do. The chachamim had no problem with it at all. The goyshin, the piling it, the chachamim had a problem, but they weren't moicha in them because they could use the excuse, they had the valid excuse that we don't hold of the gzera, that you might come to eat from it or whatever.
In the version
of the braisa, of the list, yeah.
He says
koitzrin the goyshin, but the Gemara is saying, take out the word koitzrin. Rabbi Yehuda is saying that the three things that the Anshi Yerichai did, of which the Chachamim disapproved, are the Markivin Dikolim, the Kochan Ashma, and the Goydshin, that they would stack the grain, not Kotsrin. Kotsrin, Rabbi Yehuda says the Chachamim had no problem with, they were fine with it, because it's a valley and it's an irrigated field, and we learned in our Mishnah that that's okay. It's not good for the Omer anyway, and it's going to spoil if you don't harvest it fast enough, and therefore, yeah. Okay.
So that's a valley spoils quicker?
Yeah, because it's hotter over there. It's hotter, it's wetter, yeah.
Right.
The mountain is cooler, and now it's cooler, and you have more breeze, whatever. Yeah. So,
1 second, why would they were also, if you cannot trace them, why would you go there?
Because that's the thing. So, koitzer you're allowed to do, but as we said in the Mishnah, you have to just leave them as unbundled or whatever until after the Omer. Like this, these people would be goydish, and the Chachamim disapproved of that.
Because
that you don't have to do before the Omer. It's not going to spoil before that. And there is also the possibility that you might come to eat from it while you're working with it. So therefore, don't be doing that.
Even if you koitzer with a goyshin.
Koitzer, again, you have no choice. Given that it's going to spoil, the Chachamim aren't going to impose on them to not be koitzer.
But
goydish, you may eat. It could. We had a machloekis the other day of Rabbi Yehuda and the mayor whether we're koitzer that people are going to eat from it while they're working with it or not.
So that's the thing.
The one thing is you might come to eat from it, but even if we say you're not going to come to eat from it, there's also why do you have to do it before the Omer? You could just as well wait till after the Omer.
And that's why
the Chachamim disapproved of it. According to the Mayor, the Chachamim approved of it. The Chachamim held they're doing the right thing. According to Rabbi Yehuda, they disapproved. They just weren't moicha.
Okay.